We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad with our friend and sister in Christ, Nancy Elwood. And our guest this morning is Sister Judy Gifford. How are you doing, beautiful lady?
How are you?
I am blessed and highly flavored with His favor.
Amen. Doesn't it feel good to be blessed and highly favored?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's such a wonderful feeling.
It is. There's nothing like it. Mm-mm. Just to know, and that security. There's people who don't know God don't walk in security. Mm. They don't walk. We walk knowing that if we die today, it's okay. Mm. We just go be with Jesus. If we live today, it's okay. He just lives with us.
No matter what happens, it's okay because He's with us.
And so the lightness it brings to our heart. The problem is when we lose sight of that, mm-hmm. and we get to listening to lies of the enemy, and we begin to get our minds fogged up with stuff, sometimes as Christians, and then that's when the turmoil comes in our lives. So we've got to turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen. Says,
amen.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all.
You do good.
Would you please pray to start that out?
Okay. Praise God. Father, today, again, we come to you. And so thankful for you, for the cross, for the victories you won there, Lord, and that it applies to us, Lord. It was for us. And Father, today I pray that our minds might be quickened, that we might grasp your truth to know there is hope. There is always hope in Jesus. If there's breath left in your body, there is hope for you. No matter how far you've fallen, no matter what the devil has said, no matter his schemes or plans or where you are today, God will lift you. He will help you. And I pray, God, that will come across. Your will be accomplished today, that souls will be touched. Bless every hearer. Let those hear this that are supposed to. And I say, to God be magnified. Let Jesus be glorified. Let the devil be horrified. And let us as people be satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning, yes. Getting Up After a Fall. Come on.
Gave me that early this morning. Mm. Amen. Praise Hallelujah. God. Well, praise God. The Bible says, I say unto you little children that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. And at times it's like we don't intend. And sometimes maybe even the falling may not be a sin. It just may be that the devil has singled you out for attack. He don't like you. He really, I think this is hard for us to get, particularly people of us who's been in church all of our lives. I just know good people. For me, I was raised by good people. I was raised in a church of good people. And when there was anything bad, my mother and daddy would not talk about it in front of us. They would not expose me to it, so I would not hate people in the church. So I loved even the rascals, you know. Mm. I loved all of them. And I grew up becoming a pastor's wife, loving my husband, loving my kids, having good people in my life. And the thought that there's somebody out there that literally, totally despises me and hates, because I have just, only one time did I get rebuked for preaching God's word and doing, and that shocked me. And I'm like, well, that's a small point of persecution. That was, you know, almost nothing. So I've gotten not a lot of that. So for me to grasp the concept that there is a being and someone who hates me, literally despises me so fierce that if the fence were up, if the protections were gone, he would devour me like that. Mm-hmm. In a second, he'd have me in hell, have me pinned in some place. He would pull me out, and he would mock me and say, well, look here what you could have had. You could have had Jesus, but weren't you stupid? You believed in my lie. Girl, I lied to you, and you believed it. Now, bow to me. Now, call me Lord. Now, you're going to do what I say. Now, whipper. Now, you know, and all of that stuff. I actually read in a book. It's called The Divine Revelation of Hell. And God took Mary Baker and allowed her for 40 days to go out of her body with him. And it could be probably classified as visions, as dreams. But the man who wrote, who talks about 23 minutes in hell, he talks about the scripture talking about visions, and Paul didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body. And he said, that's the way it is when something like this happens. You can't tell if you're in your body or out of your body, but it's real. It's in real time happening to you. He also experienced it. He got thrown into a jail cell naked. He laid on the floor and tried to catch his breath. And he said, there's no air down there, and you have to breathe. Your spiritual body breathes too. And he said he tried to breathe, and he couldn't catch his breath. And then there were two beings there. And he said when he saw those beings, he said it was sheer hate. And he described the one arm was long on the other one, and one had scales, and one was 8 or 10 feet tall, and they loathed him. And one of them picked him up and squeezed him into those sharp things on his body. And he said they were just tormenting and horrible him. He was able, God brought him up and out of that. He said, I don't know why God didn't let me remember that I was a Christian. I think maybe because I would have had a smidgen of hope to think I'm going to get out of there. But God wanted him to know, and also Mary Baker to know, what it is like to be totally separated from God without hope, without 1 ounce of hope. And see, that's where people get in their life. Mindset gets in, mm-hmm. where they think they have no hope. Now, when you're in hell, you're going to have no hope. There will be no chance for remorse, no chance. But as long as you've got breath in your body, you may be laying on a sick bed today. You may be as discouraged as you've ever been in your life. You may have failed God. You may have committed adultery. You may be out in sin in the worst form. But you still have hope, because there is life in your body. And let me tell you, Jesus is still Lord. He's Lord over your mistakes. He's Lord over your sins. He's Lord over the past. He's Lord over the present and future. And the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, it's not any other name. Man can't help you. What I've walked through the last few months, I've reached out and pray for me. I've called Monica, I've talked to Monica. People, I reached for people, and people kept saying, Judy, people can't help you. No, but they can pray. But you know, there's one who can, and his name is Jesus. And I'm learning to just say, Jesus, it's you and me. Jesus, it's you and me. Open my understanding. Pull back what the devil's trying to do. I really think God has allowed me to walk through this horrible time, that I might know what a soul feels like who feels like they have no hope. What a soul feels like when they feel like they're at the end. Because I was so happy walking with Jesus, Jesus and me. And he would come into my house last year about February. And he was coming into my house. And what joy. My grandson came to my door, and I said, come in here and get some of this. Because I was having me some church, just me and Jesus. And that's the way it was. And then this thing came. And then the devil started coming saying, I have something for you. I have something for you. And I'm like, what? 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 And it took me a long time to get over what. And I talked to my brother, and he said, okay, what is the devil offering you? And I don't know. He just said he had something for me. And he said, tell him to put up or shut up. You know, and so my brother was a great counselor to me and talked to me. And one day he was talking to me, and he said, Judy, what do you want? And he started naming some stuff. I don't even know what he said. And I started crying. And I said, I don't want any of that. You know what I want. And you know what I'm going to do. I want Jesus, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to stand on that platform and tell people about him. I'm going to preach his word. And then I just begin to prophesy to my brother, because he was in a place in his life where he just transitioned out of being pastor of 1,000 people in a church that is functioning and going, and there's the center of all that's happening there. And then they're stepping aside, and they're allowing their son son to take over, and the church has voted his son in. And now what does his life look like? And the Lord gave me prophecy to tell them, don't look at this as a step down. Look at this as a step forward. You're going forward, and God is using him and blessing him. And let me tell you what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And you will come to me and you will call upon me and I will answer you. He will, and Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Do you know the Lord has great and mighty things for each of us? He has a plan for each of us. He has a way for each of us to walk, and something that you're going to delight in. Something I want to tell every teenager that's out there, God's got something good for you. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. The enemy wants to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you, and he will use all kinds of lies, and he will use all kinds of entrapments and enticements and all kinds of people to come to you and say things. And what you have to do is you have to find what, listen to your parents. If they're good parents, I need tissues. If they're good parents and they're walking in the ways of the Lord and leading them, listen to them. Obey them. There is a promise with obedience to your mother and daddy and your obedience to them that says, I will honor them. And even when we're old, we honor our mother and daddy. We don't take advantage of our parents. We honor, even when they weren't good, we do our best to keep our distance for protection and yet honor as best we can, or even honor their memory as best we, not idolize them, but honor them, because that is the first commandment that has promise. And what do you mean by that, Judy? Promise? It says, so shall you, you live long. Your life will be long. And you want to live a long time, or you want to die in your 30s? You want to live a long time, or just have hopes and dreams and in your 40s have them all cut off? What do you want to do? Start young and start honoring your mom and daddy. Tell your kids, you want to live long, you better obey me. Mm-hmm. Here's what God said. Start teaching them. Little hands, be careful what you do. Little eyes, be careful what you see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, hands, and feet, what you see and where you go and what you do. And you start telling them and say things to them like, beauty is as beauty does. Don't be so concerned about this outside, you know. You better be careful. You know, I once told my mom, I said, the devil's trying to act like a friend to me. And she said, yeah, so he can get you in hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there'll be people that can come up to your life and they act like a friend to you, but their heart's not with you. When I was on the train in India, there was a couple that came, and we were supposed to have two beds. It's a train that had beds, and we were supposed to have two beds, and then there's like two more up above each bed, but we had the two bottom spaces. But when we got into our place, here came a family, and they actually took that seat over, and I said, Gideon, they're in our place. He said, leave them alone. And so what I found out was, because he was an official, he could get on the train and take anybody's spot he wanted. So he happened to take ours. He was very friendly, with very fluent, actually more fluent than Gideon and his dad were in English. And the lady, she just laid down. She didn't speak a word to me. And the kids, both kids had their heads shaved. So I assumed with heads shaved, both kids, I figured they'd do that to, my thinking is to get rid of lice or something. You know, I don't know why they did that. But both kids looked almost like boys, but the little girl had her dress on. But they, anyway, and they played around. Kids will be kids, you know. But anyway, the man was friendly, and I wound up showing him pictures, and my husband crawled up on the next bed and went to, it's just a piece of plastic that comes down, heavy, that you can get on, and he got up there and went to sleep. And so the man started questioning me, and he said, what does he do? And I said, well, he's a speaker. And that's not what I should have said. He's also a builder. He built that church out there in five houses. And so I should have said, he's a builder. We're here touring. We love to see the country of India, and we're getting to see it. That's what I should have said, which was true. But instead, I wasn't savvy enough to their ways and the deviousness and the culture that wants nothing in there except Hinduism. I wasn't aware of that. And that's why, you know what? The devil is so out to kill, steal, and destroy, and we're not aware. We're not aware. We're living our life. We're just not aware of his devious tricks coming around to kill, steal, and destroy. So this man, he got that much out of me, and he said, a Jesus speaker? Now, how'd he know about Jesus? Mm. I don't know. He a Jesus speaker? And I said, yeah. So in just a little bit, he got up. And then when he came back, he had two people with him. And here came the judges, so to speak, the conductors. They have to see our tickets again. So we have to get our tickets out. And they look at our tickets. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if the Lord told him. I don't know how he, but here was the guy that had brought us or on the trip with. They had to stay in another compartment because they were setting up and we had a place to lay down. They had to because Gideon had asthma and he couldn't stand the air conditioning in the train. So they had to be, and he showed up. He just happened to be there. So here there was just talk. I couldn't understand any of it. Just talk. And finally then he came to us and said, you have $200 more. So we had to get in our money and give $200 more because they said my ticket was not, they didn't charge me enough money. They thought I was younger than I was or something, or whatever, older or younger or something. And so I had to pay more. And so what they were doing was draining us because he had looked at our pictures and he had seen us standing by the really tall Christmas tree, all decorated in gold and all of our family dressed in Christmas dressed up. And so they're wealthy. Why not? You know, take money from them. And so when it was all over and we got off the train, the man we were with looked at me and he said, don't talk to them. They act friendly, but their heart is not with us. And so it taught me. So I try to be more cautious on the train. We took long trips on these big blue trains. And later coming home, well, one guy got a guitar out that was in the next bed. We were on different trains. And there was this bed, and I was this bed. And there's a guy with a wrap around, and he turned and faced the wall, and he was praying. And while he was praying, Thurber said, let's pray. And so we prayed while that guy was praying. But this guy was just out of the army, their army. And so he was and he had heard Christian TV, TBN. We think that kind of stuff's not important, but they had heard Christian songs. And he started playing a Christian song. And so I started singing with him. And it scared the fire out of Thelbert that we were singing that because he knew the danger. And he said all the time he just had this caution. And I'm happy-go-lucky. I actually left the train we were in and went and ventured into another train. And then go through that one and go through another train. And then something starts screaming at me. Mm. Turn around, go back. And so I turned and went back to where I was. And then, I'll try the other side. Anyway, I went and tried the other side. And there was a couple from the United States there. They were sitting. They had a sitting car. And they were traveling. And they were just seeing India. And they got some of this tea and drank some of this stuff. And anyway, all that to say this, the enemy wants to act like your friend. He wants to make you think he's not deadly. Now, you can stroke him, less like stroking a snake. Hey, that's fine, I'm here. And then he's waiting for the exact right moment so that he can strike because his heart has not changed. His purpose is the same, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the word destroy means totally annihilate. That means in hell. That means he wants you in hell. And if he can get you at a moment when you're not right with God and he can strike you down in hell, that's his plan and purpose. So we have one refuge. There's no other refuge. Where do we go? We have one refuge. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. And so what he does is he gives us promises in this word. There was a message in tongues and interpretation yesterday at my church, and I think I do have that on my phone. But the Lord gave his promises and said, my promises are not reversible. My promises are true. And if you will listen to me and if you will follow me, I will direct you to the straight and the narrow path. If you will get the word of God and you will trust in the Lord. And sometimes here's what's happened. We've listened so long to the devil's lie. We've heard a lie in our head. Sometimes our parents spoke it to us. So, and then the devil added to us, you're no good. You can count for nothing. You know, I mean, parents have said things like that to their children. They said mean, hateful things, loud, even in unintentionally mean and hateful things to be done to the kid. Sometimes they can't. I tried to protect my son and thought I was protecting him and hurt him in one of the worst ways by not telling him what was getting ready to happen. I found you need to explain to kids what's I wish people had told me that. I wish there was some kind of class. You know, I thought keeping it, some things quiet. And some things are necessary. If you're going to fight with your husband, get out of the room where the kids are at. You know, go somewhere else, you know. But I'm just saying, the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And our weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are mighty through God. Giving us power to pull down strongholds. Giving us power to cast down imagination. And, listen to this, every high thing that exalts itself. Okay, it exalts itself. What is it in your life that you really don't want to do, but you can't control it hardly? It just almost tries to just exalt itself in your life. It wants to take prominence and over your life. It's an addiction. It's a habit. It's a lie. It's a sin. It's something that wants to move in on you and take over your life. People who lose their children to DHS, you know why they do? Because a high thing has a hold of them. And they're following that high thing. And that high thing is controlling their lives. I mean, this is the way I'm seeing it. I know wrong. Maybe a lot of it has nothing to do with them. It's something that someone else did. But somebody somewhere had a high thing in their life. And it was allowed by somebody to get in somewhere to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants. And so what we have to do is realize, wait, there's power in the word. There's power in scripture. There's power. And so 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in this flesh, we do not war after this flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. I just think, would this really possible? That you would bring into captivity every one of your thoughts? And it doesn't just go spiraling everywhere. One lady said, she said, I had trouble with this because I'd be sitting, and she's a young woman in her 20s. I'd be planning my funeral, you know, and stuff. You know what I mean? Just God, the enemy taking you off. And on, no, what does God's word says? And I'm having to learn this all over again. What does God say about it? What did God say about it? Here's what he said. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, and when evils and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. And though an army besiege me, my heart shall not fear. And though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I've asked of the Lord. Have you been asking things of the Lord? Keep asking. He's listening. One thing I've asked of the Lord, and that I'll seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. Hallelujah. God wants to bring joy to you. His way is not grievous. David said, I delight to do your will, O Lord. And doing God's will is going to bring you happiness. God's will is going to bring you fulfillment. Walking with Jesus is light. And that's what he said in that message yesterday. Excuse me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Excuse me. Oh, I need a drink. I've got the wrong side out. I'm sorry. His yoke is light. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's not tedious. It's not grievous. Thank you. But his ways are good. Let me finish this. It says, I will sing, and God puts a song in your heart too. And there's a little song that we used to sing. You can have a song in your heart in the night. After every trial, after every mile, anyone can sing when the sun's shining bright. But you need a song in your heart at night. Jesus is your song. Hallelujah. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, and be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you've been my help. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And listen, that is so true. The Lord says in one part of the scripture, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can a mother forget? And then Jesus says, yeah, they can. They will forget. But he says, I won't forget you. I've got you engraved on the palm of my hand. He's got your name here. Yours, baby. And though the devil has come in like a flood, though he's pounded you, though he's lied to you, though he's caused you to trip up, though he sent his army of hordes of hell to torment, though there may be spirits of suicide coming at you, there may be spirits of despair, and you think there's no way out. There is a way. The Bible says, look up, for our redemption draws nigh. Look up to Jesus. If you'll look up, and if you'll just say this one thing, Jesus, that's all you have to say, Jesus, Jesus. You can't do anything. You don't even know how to pray, but you can say, Jesus. You just hang on, and reinforcements are coming. Reinforcements are coming. Okay, let me run on, finish this right here, and then we're going to pray in just a second. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foe. The enemy is your foe, but I heard someone the other day on Jimmy Swaggart's show, program, and he was giving out a message in tongues, and they put the camera on him, and this gentleman said, the devil is a defeated foe. And I'm like, I was DVRing that. I'm going, yes, sir, he's defeated. He don't want us to know he's defeated, mm-hmm. because he wants to defeat you. But he is defeated, and guess what? He's going to hell. You don't want to go with him. And so he's trying to take everybody he can with him. He's the one that sends the depression. There are spirits, excuse me, that go out into this world to cause people to commit suicide, to cause them to think there is no hope, to cause them to be drawn by the flesh with every kind of lust possible. And when they are, and they burn in that, they are delighted in it for a moment, and yet deep inside they despise it. Deep inside they despise the sin. Monica was sitting in a profession that one day she woke up and thought, I hate it. I hate it. God, in her sin, she cried out, God, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I hate it. Do you know your soul hates sin? Your body hates sin. Your body reacts to sin by breaking down. It'll break down. It's not God's plan for you to, or the devil to come and break your body and break your mind and break your spirit. If all of that is coming at you, then you have been targeted by the enemy. But you've got to go get your defenses. Don't just sit there and let him beat you up. He'll beat you to the ground if you let him. You've got to call on Jesus, because Jesus is your only protection. But he is your protection. And if you will call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved from whatever it is. Even in a strip joint.
Come on.
Even in a place you didn't want to be, but the devil brought you there with confusion and lies and tricks and hurt and pain and things that he brought your way that led you down the wrong path.
I got convinced that I knew what I was doing. I was married at 15, ended up separated at 17, and just, I know what I'll do. And then I had somebody give me a suggestion on a job.
There you go.
And I went and took the job. I was waitressing in a strip club in Dallas. And it wasn't maybe 6 months, and the owner of the club had convinced me to get on the stage. And I mean, he brought a good package to me. He says, come on, what do you want to get up there? What will it take to get you up there?
Name your price.
I said, well, how about a bottle of Jack Daniels? How about you take me to the mall and you buy me everything I want? And then you're going to buy my music, and no other dancers are going to be able to dance to my music. I laid some hard rules, you know, and I went there, and it wasn't long, and it just.
You couldn't stand it.
It was irky to you. Icky.
It was gross. It was gross.
I don't want to be here.
God set a pattern in you for righteousness in your heart. He set that pattern in your soul and your mind. He put a place for him there. And when that is not there, there's an emptiness. And there is nothing on this whole entire world, no matter how much money it's tagged to it or how much goodies are tagged along with it, that will fill and satisfy. Only Jesus.
I was convinced that I knew what I was doing at 15. At 15, I had it all figured out. Monica had it all figured out. Far from it. Far from it.
Yes.
If you would like to be entered for the day, for the blessing book for the month of March, blah, blah, blah. All you have to do is like, share, and comment done in the comments, even if it's later in the day or next week. The book for this month is Pray Big for Your Child, and don't limit the prayers to just your children. The book is by William Davis Jr. Tina, do we have any prayer requests over there, sister?
I'd like to ask for prayers for my mother-in-law, Mary Stamper, and our family. My father-in-law's funeral services are Wednesday. Gene Stamper is his name.